Today's gospel is from the second chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 40 on page 833 in your pew Bible. The child, Jesus, grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jesus to search for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." And Jesus said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. Today, my privilege is to introduce and have Paul. Come on up, Paul. Paul Rollett speaking today as he shares part of his ministry of what he does and what they do in the Philippines, but also, very importantly, as he shares with us the Word of God that he wants to give to us today. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Pastor Jeff, and good morning to everybody. It's really an honor and blessing and joy for Queenie and our son Kai and I to be with you today. I think it's been about every year and a half that we come back over the last few years, and we're really always just so grateful to be with you. And even when we're away back in the Philippines, we also think of you often and remember you in our prayers, and just the blessing that you all are in the partnership we have in the gospel. You've also supported us faithfully over the years, and as I look back, I realize that we're now coming up on our 10th year in partnership together. And that started back in 2017, when some of you may be aware, but I had a near-death experience in the Philippines and fell while hiking. And that was really where the Lord connected us through the TARS, and since then, now over the last 10 years in the work we are doing in the Philippines. One of the newest things that has come up since we were here last, and I think you just heard him, is adding a new member to our family. I think he hears his daddy and wants to talk. but I don't know if the slide can come up here. Yeah, so... Yep. So this is our son, Kai. He was born on December 23rd, 2024. So he just turned 1 year old just over a week ago. And we're really happy that he's here with us today and looking forward to for you to meet him later today during our times of fellowship. Another thing that's happened since we were here last, over this past year, is that we were able to turn over another church planting work in the city of Angeles City in Pampanga. Here's some pictures from that ministry. And we did this over actually a year and a half, planting this church in this community. And we hit some bumps in the road, and we can maybe share more about that later after the service. But the Lord was faithful, and we were able to turn over the youth and the kids and the adults who came to know the Lord and grew in the Lord over that year and a half of church planting, and then turn it over to the local church. Then this past October, we are able to start a new church planting work. And this is what we'll be returning to when we go back later this month to the Philippines. And this is in San Mateo, Rizal. Actually, this one is just about 20, 30 minutes from our house where Queenie and I live. The one in Pampanga was about a three-hour drive where we'd stay overnight. And Queenie, you can see her here, is actually the team leader. So this is her second time being a team leader for church planting work. This is my sixth church planting work since being in the Philippines about 14 years ago. And this is Queenie's fifth church planting since joining with Companion. So we'll be sharing after the service today more about our family and our ministry. And again, look forward to interacting, answering some questions, and having some time of fellowship. My first mission, when I turned 20 years old, actually, where I really felt the Lord was speaking to me and calling me into doing ministry, a particular ministry, was when I was in college, my second year of college, and I felt God calling me to a non-Christian, small non-Christian college with about 2,000 students to do campus ministry there. Then, towards the end of that, in my senior year of college, was when the Lord sort of impressed on me my second mission. At that time, I was in Chicago on the west side in the west suburbs, and my second mission was to a homeless shelter on the west side of Chicago. And this was really my first immersion into working among the poor. After serving there at this homeless shelter for about a year, my parents came up to visit me. I warned my mom that I would share this story. They're with us this morning too, so I warned her about this, but it ends well. they came up and visited me, and we were having a community event with the homeless and at this homeless shelter. After spending some time there, my mom pulled me aside and she said, Paul, in Tagalog it would be anak, you know, son, who raised you? She said, what are you doing here on the west side of Chicago with these people? A smile came to my face and my response was quick and gentle. I said, Mom, you and Dad raised me, and you raised me to love Jesus. And Jesus brought me here to the west side of Chicago to serve among these people. That thought came freely, and it was true. My parents did raise me to love Jesus, and now looking back over the last 20 years since that time, I know that it was a foundation that my parents instilled in me and my siblings that has taken me now around the world, together with Queenie for the last 4 years as my wife, doing church planting, evangelism, discipleship, and leadership development among the poorest of the poor in Chicago, Los Angeles, Kansas City, and most recently, Manila. And that same faith continues to compel me, together with Queenie, in partnership with your church, to keep reaching as many people and communities as we can until the Lord calls us home. Today's gospel reading is in many ways similar to my story in Chicago, though in a different context, between Jesus and his parents, who asked a similar question of their son about what he was doing and why he was doing it. The gospel text, which was read earlier, comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 40 to 52. In it, we find Jesus, just 12 years old at the time, staying behind in the temple to ask and answer questions with religious leaders, while his parents had gone ahead with the others from the town after the Passover festival. There are three parts to our passage today, and three things that we learn about Jesus from this account of staying behind in the temple. The first thing we see from this passage is that from the time of Jesus' birth, I saw this mural earlier, it's just so beautiful, no? From the time of his birth, the infancy narratives, until his public ministry, which happened around the age of 30, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and participated in the religious traditions and festivities of his time. In verses 40 to 42, we read, that Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. Through these verses, we see that like many of the prophets and leaders of the Old Testament and people of faith throughout history, Jesus grew not just physically, mentally, emotionally, but also in wisdom and understanding and in his spiritual journey. Our scripture readings for this Sunday all reflect the gospel passage about Jesus growing in wisdom and understanding. In fact, each passage from 1 Kings, Psalms, and the Ephesians passage talks about how those who are close to God, who grow in trust and faith in him and follow his commands, will also grow in wisdom and understanding. And this is not just ordinary wisdom, but a wisdom that will stand out in the world. When I think of our son Kai, I also desire this growth in wisdom and understanding for him, as well as obedience and faith as he grows as a child into a young man and then an adult. We don't know what the Lord will call him into or what the future will hold for him, but every night when we put him to sleep, we pray for God's blessing, for God's protection, and God's favor to be upon him. And I'm sure Mary and Joseph also prayed these same prayers for their son Jesus as he grew up. Yet beyond prayer, we see here in today's passage that Mary and Joseph also raised Jesus in the faith traditions, bringing him to the temple in Jerusalem at least 3 times a year and placing him in the same religious training as other children his age. And this, too, is Queenie and I's desire for our son Kai. Yet as we continue in the passage today, we see that Luke's purpose in sharing this story goes beyond simply showing how Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and obedience. As we continue to read the passage, we find Mary and Joseph in crisis mode when they realize, after a day's walk from Jerusalem, that Jesus wasn't with them. According to one scholar, oftentimes in the caravans, the kids would walk with other relatives or friends. So it's probably one of those things that Mary and Joseph had developed trust with Jesus, and it wasn't surprising that they hadn't seen him for a day. This is very common, too, in the Philippines and in a more communal culture in that way. But when they did realize it, the search was on. They rushed back to Jerusalem, I'm sure even running at times, or if it was modern day, they would catch a taxi or an Uber. And they searched frantically, it says, for 3 days until they finally found Jesus in the temple. Talk about an adrenaline rush, right? Thankfully, Queenie and I haven't experienced this yet with Kai, although he's not yet walking, so we'll have to keep a close eye on him when he does. But I'm sure that Mary and Joseph's hearts were pounding. I'm sure they didn't sleep probably for those 3 days, and their blood pressure was probably through the roof. This isn't the only passage in Scripture where we find what seems to be resonance, right? A peaceful time where things are going well, only to be thrown off by dissonance, where things seem to turn upside down in an instant. Amidst my preparation for today, I came across a theological pattern from a former director of a Christian school in action and contemplation, which he calls transformational change, a movement from order and success to disorder or chaos to reorder or reemergence. I have this graph here, if it comes up here, but so I just kind of see this movement, right, from this growth, success, and then chaos into a reemergence, or again, from order to disorder to reorder. We'll see the third one of these, the end of our passage, but here in the first 2 parts of our passage, we see the movement from order to disorder. We see that Jesus, after a rather disturbing and challenging first few years of life, where he had to flee to Egypt after Mary and Joseph heard that King Herod was going to kill all the boys under 2 years old, They finally settled down in Nazareth and began to grow into a normal child and with a particular amount of wisdom and understanding and with God's favor. But as the wise man who, I don't know if you've seen this movie, but the wise man who became Navi, Jake Sully, reflected the beginning of the second Avatar movie. Have you seen that yet? But he says, happiness is simple, but the thing about happiness is it can vanish in a heartbeat. In other words, all of us at one point or another in life will come to a time, or for most of us, multiple times, where order turns to disorder. Our resonance turns to dissonance. And for Joseph and Mary, one such occasion was this time when Jesus was just 12 years old. After spending 14 years in the Philippines and having visited followers of Jesus all over the world, I know that this transformational cycle or movement is true no matter where we are in the world. Whether living in a homeless shelter in Chicago, a refugee community in Kansas City, the slums of Manila, or the subdivisions of Fountain Hills or Chatham, Illinois, where I grew up, we all go through moments and seasons of chaos and disorder. Our passage today only lasted 4 days, but this was enough to turn Mary and Joseph's world upside down, and enough to move them into a posture of helplessness and wonder that prepared them for the lesson and insight they were about to discover about their son. After finally finding Jesus, I imagine, because this way the scripture is written, it says that they saw him sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. They must have paused in wonder, and here Jesus is sitting with the religious leaders. And they noticed that all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Here, amid their dismay, their disorder, and disarray, and 4 days of mental and emotional somersaults and anxiety and trauma, Jesus' answer to why he put them through all this distress, I think, gave them more somersaults. In verses 48 to 50, we read, "When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said, 'Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been searching for you in great distress.' And he said to them, 'Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?' And they did not understand the saying he spoke of them to them." Our sermon today is father's house, or in my father's house. In Tagalog, this is translated bahay ng aking ama, which is literally the house of my father. And this is drawn from Jesus' answer, "Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And yet, as I was thinking of this passage and our time today, I realized Mary and Joseph probably searched many homes all around Jerusalem, the places they had been, until they finally arrived in the house of God, right, the temple. And as I was looking then deeper into the different translations of this verse, I found one translation from Eugene Peterson in his Message translation that says this. He says, Jesus' words, "Didn't you know that I had to be here dealing with the things of my father?" And instead of "they did not understand," he writes that Mary and Joseph had no idea what he was talking about. So I'll end our time today with these two phrases, and starting with the second, with the hope of seeing how Mary and Joseph arrived at a new understanding or a reordering of the relationship with Jesus and the things of his father, and hopefully to a better understanding of our own process of how God continues to reorder us into a more authentic and missional relationship with the things of a father in our own lives. At first, here we see Mary and Joseph responding to Jesus. It says they didn't know what he was talking about. When I look back at the conversation I had with my mom in Chicago many years ago, she would tell you that it wasn't until 10 years later, so that was when I was around 20, it wasn't until 10 years later that she finally realized and understood why and that I had been called to church planting among the poor. This actually came 10 years ago in 2017, after my accident when I was there in the hospital in Manila. And she was finally able to see God's faithfulness through this companion community that was caring for me there in the hospital 24/7. It was there that she realized I was really called to the work of planting churches. And I think the same can be said of Mary and Joseph, that even after Jesus' response, they still didn't understand this relationship that Jesus had with his Father. But somehow, even in not understanding, there's this beautiful line in this gospel that says, Mary, and I'm sure Joseph, held this still in their hearts. They didn't understand, but they held it in their hearts. And I imagine for us, some who've studied years in the scriptures, we still don't fully understand that Trinitarian relationship between God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so how much more Mary and Joseph when Jesus is just 12 years old? But there's this, they held it still in their hearts. And I think we can do that still today too. The second phrase is this response from Jesus. Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Or again, dealing with the things of my Father. Jesus' response shows that he was beginning to understand who he was. Not only the son of Mary and Joseph, but the son of God. And this is my first prayer for us today. That we too, in our minds and our hearts, would really know more fully, even through this passage as we hear it, that Jesus is the Son of God. And maybe for some here today that are still wrestling through this, this truth, this foundational truth, my prayer is that the Lord will set it in our hearts and set it in our minds, that when we come to Jesus, he is the Son of God. He is God himself, ready to receive our prayers, ready for us to journey together with him. But my second prayer today, and second challenge, is what are the things of the Father for each of us and for Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church? Jesus, at the age of 12, knew where his priorities lay. In fact, I think Jesus is the only one that throughout history that didn't need a reordering. From the beginning of time, he was already in the right order, the right relationship with God the Father. But even as the Son of God, he still put himself and held the responsibilities he had with his earthly family, Mary and Joseph, all the way to the end, to the cross, when he passed off his wife, his mom to one of the disciples. And if Jesus knew this right relationship with his Father and the things of his Father, was so committed to following after God's purpose and will for his life, then how much more each of us? Do we also know the priorities God is asking each of us and the call that he has on our lives? The fact that Queenie and I are here with you today, in addition to the other global missionaries that you support as a church, really tells us that you are in the right direction, following after God's heart and his work around the world. And God sees these efforts in your hearts, and I know is well pleased. Another part of the mission is to our extended families. And my encouragement today is to continue, each of us, to continue to pray for and see God's working through our extended families, those here in Fountain Hills and around the United States and around the world. I know that sometimes we may have to pray for years and years before we see God move in their lives, but let's not give up on that. Let's continue to believe God's working in their lives. And beyond these two of the global mission and our family, there's also the local mission. And I know that you're also involved in this. It's neat to see that next week you'll be going on a mission together as a church. And I just continue to pray for you and your local mission, to continue to see the needs of those around you. Mother Teresa would say, the poor are among us. We just need the eyes to see. My encouragement is to see these things. Just want to share one last story as a way to close. We'll be sharing more stories later throughout the day. But my third mission after going from the campus ministry to the homeless shelter was to work in a halfway house in Chicago's west side called the Hope House. This is a place where mostly men came out of prison and were transitioning back into their homes and their community. This church was in a this This Hope House was based in a church called Lawndale Community Church, who had many ministries in the community, doing housing initiatives, legal aid. They started a huge medical clinic. But this was one of those ministries. And the pastor of that church, I remember being there doing this ministry, and I remember the pastor saying, he said, you know, if too many days or weeks go on that I don't shed tears for the needs of those around here in this community, he said, then I know that I have got to come back again and reorder and reprioritize and see again God's heart for this community. And that's how he wanted to lead his church, is to always have this contrite, this broken heart and spirit that says, Lord, what is it that you're doing around? To weep for those who weep, but then to really see God's heart and God's purposes for his community. And I pray that for us today too, that the Lord will continue to bring us to our knees, continue to break us, so that we can continue to realign and reorder our priorities and our hearts and our mission to the things of the Father, to the things that he desires for our lives. I pray all of this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.